with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Through the years on AbleQuest, we have regularly covered the activities of Accessible Arts, the peak body for arts and disability in New South Wales. It provides opportunities for people with disability to participate in arts and cultural activities. In addition, Accessible Arts helps such people develop as professional artists. Scott O'Hara, their recently appointed CEO, has a 25-year history in arts management and has been successful in leading organisations through challenging periods. He spoke with Barbara Sullivan, who asked him about Accessible Arts today.
Well, if your listeners are familiar with Accessible Arts as it was a couple of years ago, they might be surprised to know that it's now a much smaller organisation, with economic rationalisation being what it is. The organisation has lost two-thirds of its core government funding. It was previously funded in roughly equal parts by Arts New South Wales, which is now Create New South Wales, the Australia Council for the Arts, and the Department of Family and Community Services. Now, those last two funds are no longer available, with the Australia Council's much tighter budget, meaning it doesn't fund service organisations at a state level as a rule, putting its more limited resources now into national organisations. And the money that used to fund organisations like us from Department of Family and Community Services has been redirected to support the NDIS. So that funding is no longer available either. So we are now a much smaller organisation with mostly part-time staff. I'm the only full-time staff member at the moment. And a big part of my brief is to help reorganise the business structure and the income of the organisation to a fee-for-service provider with a little bit of an emphasis on consulting services to be in. But also, we're going to be moving into having a formalised fundraising strategy. We are a fully registered charity, and that's never been a strong focus of the organisation, but that's something we're planning to build on into the future.
So this has fundamentally changed some of the programs that you offer and some of the services you offer.
Well, the real focus of what we're doing is, on the one hand, advocacy. We haven't gone away from that key role of representing particularly artists with disability and their needs to all of the stakeholders that are involved, so not only government, but arts organisations that might engage artists, and very often artists with disability don't have their needs very well understood or very well catered for, and so we have a very key advocacy role in that. We also have an advocacy role to government around policy, and we also advocate for increased accessibility to arts and cultural venues and facilities for audiences, and that's a really key part of our work. We actually are very good at coming into an organisation, helping them to connect with their audience, particularly their latent audience, which might be people with disability who'd like to be part of their audience but aren't able to access their facilities or programs very well. And in a consultative way, we build up a thing called a Development Inclusion Action Plan, which essentially is a strategic plan specifically targeted at making an arts program or a venue or an organisation more accessible and more inclusive and better able to engage with its audience and cater to a wider range of people and overcome a lot of the barriers to participating in the arts. And that is one of the things we offer as a fee-for-service.
Presumably you charge for that.
Yes. So the organisation that is going to get a benefit from growing their audience, they usually have the capacity to cover the costs of paying for that. So that is one of the services we're trying to grow. We have recently completed a very large one for the Museum of Arts and Sciences, which includes the Powerhouse Museum, but also their other facilities, including Sydney Observatory. And that was a very comprehensive project with a very broad stakeholder base, a lot of consultation with their staff and management, as well as the audience and perhaps people who don't go as they currently are. And they've pretty much got a three-year roadmap now of different activities they can do to become more accessible. And it's been particularly useful for them going into the potential relocation to Parramatta to really understand what barriers to access and inclusion that they have in their current facility that they can make sure their new facility, if the powerhouse does go out to Parramatta, doesn't reproduce. The ideal solution is that people with disability can access the same experience in the same way as people who don't have disability. Now, that's not always possible, but in every decision that you make around design, architecture, presentation and interpretation of information, being conscious of that as the outcome you're trying to achieve can really affect what decisions that you make, even down to what size and shape font you use for some script.
Yes.
That can be a lot more inclusive, enable a lot more people to engage with it, depending on what choices you make. And on the other hand, you know, if you've got to provide other ways of people who can't access that written information to receive it, what you really want to do is have as many people included in your main channel of communication as possible, and therefore ensure that your other activities that you do, your alternatives you provide, are really focused directly on people who can't access the written word.
Talking about cultural institutions there, do you actually deal with organisations as well?
Yes, absolutely. Big or small, we're very interested in expanding even out from specifically arts and cultural specific organisations.
Oh, really?
Given that we have this expertise and skill set, if it's a related area, we're interested in seeing if we can assist.
Are you taking these services out to the bush?
Yes, we are literally this week posting on our website a newly approved strategic framework. And one of the items which the current staff were very keen to have included in there was ensuring that our services aren't just available in inner Sydney, which would be the easiest for us to do with such a reduced capacity. But we want to be really focused on going out to outer metropolitan Sydney and to the whole of the state. What we're able to do in that space is obviously fairly limited, so we need to target it to the areas of greatest need and the most effect. And I can talk about a couple of things we've done recently. So our arts development manager, Liz Martin, recently spent most of her working week out in Western New South Wales. She ran a disability inclusion training session, which is one of our core services we provide. And that's where we take people, particularly in customer service and management kind of roles, and give them a real understanding of what the issues are around barriers to access and what sort of things they can be aware of when they're planning their events or providing services to reduce those barriers and to increase participation. The second one is just last Friday, I was at Maitland Regional Art Gallery conducting a consultation session, which we're currently in a major consultation program that's been commissioned by Create New South Wales, where we are finding out from artists with disability exactly how well government is currently understanding and responding to their needs and what sort of things could be improved to do that better. The reason for that is Create New South Wales is currently planning its new strategic vision, which is called Arts 2025, and they want to make sure that artists with disability are well represented in that process, so we're doing a specific consultation around that. We're also trying to understand how the rollout of the NDIS has affected artists with disability, because we're hearing a lot of anecdotal information that basically artists are not really able to participate in the NDIS for supports that directly relate to their arts practice. And what we're really trying to understand is what sort of support government was giving them in programs that aren't funded anymore in order to fund the NDIS, but now they can't access funds for those activities. So it would appear from the anecdotal information that an accidental gap has been created and that government support for artists with disability directly towards their artistic practice has in effect been defunded. So we're trying to really map and understand that and see if that's really the case. And if so, what sort of things have disappeared and what sort of things could be reinstated to try and plug that gap again.
One of those things, presumably, is your grants program that used to exist.
Yes, one of the programs we used to fund primarily through the FACTS money was a devolved small grants program. And yes, we are hearing from a lot of artists with disability that the mainstream arts funding programs are really at quite a high level and are very competitive. In fact, they're so competitive now, the last Create New South Wales grants round had a less than 3% success rate. So artists with disability are telling us that they actually need a smaller kind of project. They need to learn how to write a grants application, how to manage a project, and the small devolved funds is a great way for them to do that because they can apply for $2,000 or $3,000. They can go through the process of application, acquittal, running their project, reporting on it, evaluating it, all of the skills you need to develop to be a grant recipient and a professional artist who's in receipt of government funds. And really without that, they're telling us it's just a bridge too far to compete in that main game.
So does this mean that some of the progress that was seen in accessibility generally for artists has been halted?
Look, you could say that, and certainly that is the impression we're getting from some of the people in the consultation. I think it's a two-way street in a sense, in that a lot of arts organisations have become a lot more inclusive, a lot more aware of barriers to engaging professional artists with disability and a lot more understanding of their needs. But in terms of artists organising their own activities and getting direct support for that, that seems to have become a lot more difficult.
So would you like artists with disabilities to be in touch with you, with their experience?
Absolutely.
So, Scott, you've been 3 months in the job. I imagine you've established your priorities, some of which you've referred to.
Well, I guess the one that I haven't mentioned is we were successful in getting some ILC funding, which is funding to help bridge the gap until NDIS is fully operational, to do a two-year project in the ACT. That really has a focus on capacity building. So what we're really hoping to do is to train some local people in the ACT with lived experience of disability and a background in the arts in delivering our disability inclusion training. And also we're going to hopefully deliver a couple of disability inclusion action plans across those 2 years and mentor some local people in those skills so that after we've finished, we've left a new network of people who we can continue to support who will deliver those kind of services in the ACT. Another high priority is our national conference on the 30th and 31st of May next year. So we're deep in the planning processes for that. We've got some very exciting ideas that hopefully I can come back and talk to you about.
We'd love that.
And then the fundraising strategy is also going to be a very high priority for us. We want to go back to having three streams of money that mean that we're a very viable and solid organisation. But instead of them being three different government programs, one will be government, one will be earned income, and the other will be a charity-oriented fundraising strategy.
So have you had any fab new ideas?
Yes, the big project that we're hoping to get up and take forward over the next couple of years builds on an existing project which is called Accessing Sydney Collectively, where 14 organisations, including Accessible Arts, came together to create a clearer, more universal symbol for access services rather than just using a wheelchair. And we've got a much more friendly universal symbol that we created. The different organisations use that as an entry point on their homepages to get through to the information on their accessibility services. And there's a central website about that, asyd.co, that's asyd.co. We really want to take what's good about that project and expand it out to a statewide project. And we want that website to be a really effective connector between people with disability who want to attend arts events of some kind and finding the venues near them that can cater to their needs.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.